This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
I gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
It's Mike Schoep.
Boy, I tell you, some days... one of these days, it's just going to be like...
So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
Just coffee.
Okay. Sounds like a case of the Mondays.
And the Bulldog.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I didn't need Bears quarterback injuries on the heels of reading the NBC press release that Al Michaels has the week off and remembering that the Lions are on this week. Just not great. Not great, Bob. Yeah. I do not need... that's just a compound fracture right there, thinking about primetime football, or national TV, anyway. The Lions game is not in primetime.
It starts at like 12:30, though, so, I mean, you don't have to watch it.
You do, though, don't
you? That's the best
I can do. Do you really not? Do you really not watch it? I've tried that.
No, I watch it every year.
I feel left out. But well, I deeply resent it.
At least you got the battle for first in the NFC East later today, or later that day.
That's right.
Yep.
And then I have a Ravens team that is driving me crazy without Dobbins and Ingram now at the Steelers. Great. That's just what I need. That is what I need.
And you don't even know yet, like, what other, like, close contact. I don't think they know that yet. They're still
figuring that out. They're still negotiating that.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's how we do it now. Yeah.
It won't be any more running backs. Because we won't venture into competitive disadvantage territory, perceived competitive disadvantage territory. So we're going to say that Gus Edwards and Justice Hill are probably... I mean, I'm sure Lamar Jackson didn't come close to Ingram or Dobbins at all. Right?
No.
That wouldn't have happened.
No, of course not.
That would not have happened.
No.
But you know... okay.
That'll work out fine.
Okay, it's running backs. Do you have, let's start here. Do you have one team from yesterday that you want to talk about, like, the most? What is one team that you really want to talk about from yesterday? I think I already revealed mine.
Is it Baltimore?
It's always Baltimore. What
Miami did with Tua was pretty interesting, but I feel like it's been like 3 weeks of, like, I don't know, 30% Dolphin talk on this show, I think, probably.
It's still great.
It sort of feels that way.
It's still great.
I mean, that was a pretty interesting development. I don't know how meaningful ultimately it will be, but it certainly got a lot of people's attention around the league. So, like, that, and of course, them losing was pretty cool for us. So that, you know, that worked for me. I was mad at the Packers.
Ooh.
You know, like, I've got a really good or even great NFC team, playing at an AFC team. And, like, come on, you know, finish this off. I mean, it's not – doesn't have to have a huge bearing on the Bills, but another loss for a division leader would have been nice. So I was a little mad at the Packers last night.
I like that. I like it when it's Bills related.
everything was to me watching yesterday. Like not everything. I mean, I did see some things that had nothing to do with the Bills, but you know, even watching Tennessee and Baltimore, you watch those two teams play, and okay, I've already lost to one of you this year. I lost to the other last year. I may run into you in January. We know what what's that going to look like.
So what did you want there?
Everything was through a Bills prism. What did I want there?
Yeah.
I guess Tennessee. I like Baltimore is vulnerable, and if they're on the ropes, like put them out. Just take them out. So they got they're in tough. I think they and Miami are on the outside looking in today, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know how. I haven't looked at that. But they're struggling definitely. Miami is still super interesting. I mean, I'm here for as long as you want on either or both of those teams, and on Green Bay, what? Aaron Rodgers and the spikes on that last drive. Why? Of all people. You know, like, if a rookie, twice on first down when they didn't need it, he spiked the ball. And the second time, they got to fourth down and kicked the field goal and went to overtime. And I couldn't believe it. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers. So that was terrible, I thought. I didn't care who won. I kind of like the Colts. I have a bet on them in here with you guys. But I was just shocked that Rodgers wouldn't just be more chill on that last drive. Like, you just come to expect that from him. The Miami thing, wow. The Miami thing is really interesting, right? Like, there is, with all due respect to how wonderful Ryan Fitzpatrick apparently is, like, you just can't even question him. He's probably cured diseases. With all due respect to that, that has Flutie Johnson potential.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that team has not won in a long time. Those guys are not. Like, now that Fitz was put back in. Now, they didn't win the game. And they did a little bit. You know, they did a little bit with Fitz in there. And they still lost.
He moved the ball. I think he ended up with more yardage, better stats than Tua for, like, three quarters plus.
Yep.
But, you know, he did throw an interception to end their chances, which was maybe kind of fitting. You know, like, for Miami fans, if you've been sort of, you know, willfully ignoring Fitzpatrick's flaws in his history, you would have been, oh, great, he's in the game. All right, they're moving the ball. This is awesome. And you got smacked with a Fitz sandwich dose of reality there. Like, this is how it goes a lot, which is why he's been on nine teams and doesn't seem to be able to hold down a job because this happens, you know? But, yeah, I mean, the guys on the team, like, I don't know. All they've done is win, right? They won before they made the switch, then he made the switch, and they won some more. I think there would still be guys on that team, especially now, that are going, well, wait a minute. Like, what are we doing here? Like, some adversity strikes and the kid doesn't get the chance to work through it, and you're going to go back to this guy. If you're going to go back to this guy, why isn't this guy just playing all the time? Like, what are we really trying to do here? So I think it's a little weird. It's got potential, but you just never know. Like, it might just go away if Tua plays again and plays great and they beat the Jets, which, I mean, come on, then maybe the fire kind of dies down. But it was really weird to me that the first time that there was really a struggle there, that the coach was, like, it feels to me like the coach might have been saying, like, I wasn't all 100% on board with this to begin with, so I'm going to go back to my guy now because I'm trying to win the division.
Maybe. I mean, I could see when we have had quarterback controversies, you always have this point. Why doesn't a coach feel more free to put in the player, or basically to take out the guy, whoever's playing, to take out the guy, just for the purposes of that game? You and I have gotten that question over the years, not in a few years. Mm-hmm. You know, when Tyrod was playing, this happened. Why couldn't you just take him out? He doesn't throw the ball when he needs to late in the game. He's gun shy. Why can't you take him out and put somebody else in, whoever it is, that'll throw the ball? You know, logical. And I think I probably usually said over the years to that question, well, coaches don't want the headache. They don't want to have to answer questions all week. Anytime you do that, this is exactly what I would have said. Anytime you do that, you're opening the door to tons of questions about who you think the better quarterback is, and – I remember, like, even my dad. My dad is not really a sports fan, and I always think, like, when he starts to talk about sports, this is going to be good. Because he's coming at it from a non-sports head perspective, you know? And he'd be like, well, why can't it be like baseball? Where the pitcher starts to lose it, and then you take him out and put in a different pitcher. Like, that's fine in baseball. Why can't you do that? You know, that's fine. So, anyway, like, if I don't think I was going to say this, but if Fitzpatrick had sort of – if Fitzpatrick had forced overtime, if he'd scored a touchdown there, right, and the game goes to overtime – then you have something. Maybe you have something different. If they didn't play the Jets and the Bengals in the next two games, maybe you have something different. All kinds of – I guess I brought it up because of what you said. Maybe this coach felt like, I got to win here, and I'm not winning this way. So
I owe it to the rest of the guys on this team. Everybody's out here busting their ass, and like the quarterback is holding us back, so I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah, it just goes without saying. We're here to win, so I'm just going to put in somebody like I would any other position, and you wouldn't even notice. You know, if I'm going to take my left guard out, you're not even going to notice, probably. So maybe it just only goes that far. But I think, too, I think it's at least fair to wonder this. Where are they at with him? You've got the Charger kid is unstoppable, right? Like, Burrow was doing very well. You kind of want to be, I know he's a rookie and he's started three or four games, but you kind of want to be farther along maybe. You could wonder that, right?
Like, yeah, sure. I think it's curious that you've got, like, you know, before he got hurt yesterday, was Burrow still leading the league in pass attempts? Like, the Bengals are just throwing it like crazy. The Chargers are, you know, Herbert looks excellent, and I wouldn't say they're throwing it like crazy, but, like, he puts up eye-popping numbers. The Dolphins look like, so far, Tua has been a game manager. And, you know, why can't you do more? Like, is that, like, you're scared of it? You're scared of what, you know, doing too much, having him do too much, overwhelming him, whatever. None of those are good things to say when you've got, you know, peers that are able to jump right in and do it. So I don't know what they're doing with him and why their offense has – maybe their offenses look like their offenses look because they keep winning games by taking the ball away and being conservative. So they don't need to, you know, take the chance of having him throw it 45 times a game. But ultimately, you're going to want to find out if he can do that and win, because that's or even just do that. I mean, the Bengals and the Chargers are not really winning much of anything.
No.
I mean, the Chargers won yesterday, but they're finding out that they've got a guy that can do that part of it.
That's what you'd maybe want to hear or expect to hear from Brian Flores is, well, how many wins? Tua has more wins than Herbert and Burrow. The Chargers' first game, Tyrod won. And so, like, they have three wins now, and so he's got two. And I think Burrow has two. And Tua has three.
Right.
So what are we here for? Like, but, you know, if I heard that, I would flip out because, like, well, you know, is he why you're winning, really? You're blocking kicks. That's why you're winning. You're blocking kicks. So they got theirs, I guess, because they are not really doing much, and they were winning anyway. I mean, they don't have more than 312 yards in their last five games. They had 223 yards yesterday. Denver had 459, double. Denver,
and that's been pretty much that's been these last four games, right?
Yeah, well, not
to that degree.
No,
they're getting outgained.
They're
pretty severely.
Yes, Denver, the new Buffalo. Denver, perfect new Buffalo win for Denver.
Yeah.
You got to stay in that hunt. And we can hear about how clutch and how focused, and these guys don't quit, Bulldog. There's no quit in this team. There's no quit in this locker room as the Broncos improve to 4-6 and are going nowhere. So that's what that means. Joe, do you have a team from yesterday? Like, who is the team from yesterday that you were just like, I can't wait to talk about them?
I think it was Baltimore for me.
Oh.
But I've kind of been on, I'm not really buying it this year at all.
I'm starting to want to sell.
But to me, it's not even like what they're doing now. It's I never liked how they played in the first place. Like, I want to see them air it out with Lamar Jackson. Like, I want to see what happens when he throws the ball 30-plus times every single game. And they just continue, even when it's not working, and it's worked. Like, it's not like they've been terrible. They've not been bad on offense. But I want to see them kind of commit to him as like, yeah, we can air it out, and we're not going to play this, you know, fancy offense with him all the time.
Well, they don't act like they think that. They do not have the personnel for it.
That's part of it. They don't have the receiving core. That's why they brought in Dez Bryant. So maybe this offseason, if they went out and, you know, drafted a guy in the first round or they signed some big-name receiver, they would change their tune on just being run-heavy every single game. But I don't feel like they have the card right now where, like, I trust Tennessee right now where if they got a drive at the end of the game to come back, I trust Ryan Tannehill and the Titans more than the Baltimore offense.
Boy.
I just don't know if you can win that way.
I know. They did you watch them, Bulldog? Did you watch like the last?
I watched almost all that game. Yeah,
I mean, there were so many things that would just drive you crazy if that's your team. You know, and I can kind of relate because I root for them. But how about this? How about this? So I got to make sure I have the timing. Maybe Joe, if you can you just double check me on this? You and I were talking about this like an hour ago. And Joe didn't have his show today. He's only on at night today. He's not
right,
on.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
on before. He's
no
only on after.
Yep.
It's a game week.
So we were talking, and I think this was the drive before the Titans' drive to take the lead. So, you know what? 21-17 maybe was the score, and I don't know, 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left. And Jackson, you would have seen it, Bulldog. You were watching it. Mm-hmm. Jackson runs, and you think he has the first down, but they spotted him short. Like, Romo's like, he got it. They just didn't have the camera right on the line, so they couldn't tell for sure. They spot him short. And, like, the Baltimore team that I was so hot for, there's no question about what they do. The score doesn't matter. The opponent doesn't matter. They get to the line, and they run third and inches. Like, that's just it. They don't have to hurry up on you, but they're not challenging the spot. Challenging the spot is reserved for the worst coaches. The worst coaches challenge spots. Not the Ravens. Who castrated the Ravens? So they're challenging spots now? You can't even sneak? Like, so, okay, whatever. Third and inches. They challenge the spot. They lose because, you know, inconclusive, I guess, even though you know. One of those where you know. Yeah. You knew Breer had scored against the Rangers in the playoffs, but, you know, you can't see the puck.
Yep.
Great system. So, short, and what happens? False start. Like, these are bad team stories.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging spots, false start out of the timeout, third and six, Andrews is open in that little pocket. Like, the good Ravens pass plays are almost always to Andrews, and it's a touch throw. Like, there's a ball, there's a linebacker in front of them, and there's a safety behind them, and Jackson puts it in there. Or he just misses. And on this one, he just missed. So, punt. How about after that, 24-21, they get the ball again. Now we're down to 2 minutes. And they just, right down the field, right to the 10. Like, nothing at all. They go right down the field. Jackson throws. Jackson runs. Everything they want. Anything they wanted. And they get to the 10. And they run that play where they had just run a play to Dez Bryant out on the right. And they hustle to the line. They don't need to. Like, the clock's not about to run out, but they're, you know, they've got a tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to the line. Jackson takes the snap, throws it out to Marquise Brown. He's walking in. Bryant is blocking for him. There's no one even to block. Like, he's just walking in. Nope. False start. Like, bad team stuff. That is bad team stuff. This is the Bills of 2006. How did we lose today? Well, the penalty, and then this, and then why did we challenge that, and then why did we use this timeout, and just like, that's the Ravens now?
Yeah.
These guys were talking about the end of the first half for this, because the first half ended after a Titans score, and they had 40 seconds, and they ran it out.
Yeah, they kneeled it out, basically, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know what, yeah, there's a lot, I mean, they've got issues up front, right, the center, I mean, there's some snaps, mm-hmm. right, like, there's stuff. There that if you were more into them, like, you know, as opposed to us watching from the distance we are. I mean, we know this stuff, but it's just not, we're not going to, like, really talk about the linemen being out. But, like, that's got to be having an impact. But, yeah, I mean, watching that drive at the end of, you know, that they ended up tying the game on, you know, the way they move the ball, I'm like, well, they're going to, you know, I'm thinking about the picks, right? I mean, I think I had Tennessee. So I'm watching like, oh, well, they're gonna score here. I'm trying to, they're going to cover. I don't know, whatever. But it felt to me for sure they're going to score. And then they just stopped. You know, they just stopped. And, yeah, I don't know, man. I it's been a few weeks of sort of looking at them and just, you know, I think everybody's there now is just, what's wrong with them? Like, if you know, we've been talking to everybody we talk to every week, every, you know, every show we have somebody on, and it's like, what's going on with the Ravens? Whether it's fantasy or just regular conversation, they've been going the wrong way for a little while here offensively.
It's still sort of, as somebody that's backed them, it still reassures me somewhat that they're like, oh, they lost in overtime to Tennessee. Okay, they're terrible then. Like, they played a super close game with Pittsburgh. This was a close game. New England, even, like, that was probably worse, but on the road and the weather. There are these sort of reasons to not, like, their DVOA is good. It's better than the Bills. There are reasons to think that they're not, that they're still good, right? But, man, these little mistakes, I feel like I thought they were all buttoned up. I thought they were different than this. And, but if you're into this sort of thing instead, there's just, like, stuff like there's bad karma with Baltimore. If you're a karma person, like Jackson talking about Greg Roman and Marquise Brown was unhappy, and Dobbins yesterday is unhappy. Like, why are they also unhappy? You know, like you don't want that if you can choose. Joe, this was your team, by the way. I'm sorry, this was the team you wanted to talk about, and I just cannot stop. I was so ready on the Ravens today. Like, I just give me a microphone because that's killing me. How they're blowing these games. And Marquise Brown is just a mess. You see the drop in the first quarter?
Des Bryant hasn't played in 3 years. And they're like, you said it earlier, they had that play for Bryant. They got like plays for Bryant. Marquise Brown is going like games after games with no catches. It's just like the guy doesn't even exist.
They threw
on that team.
First quarter, he's wide open, middle of the field. You'd even say it. You would say he was wide open, middle of the field. He jumped for the ball with no one there and dropped it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe there's something personal going on there, but it's bad. And now Ingram and Dobbins are both COVID positive. They play Thanksgiving night. No, I mean, those guys don't. I don't know. 6-5.
And I don't think they – it's because there's so many other teams. I don't think they have to make it. Like, certainly.
No.
I don't think they have to.
Look at the Browns.
Right. They are out of a playoff spot right now. Them and Miami are 8-9. At 6-4, the Raiders are also 6-4.
6-4, sorry.
Yeah, right. And then Cleveland and Tennessee and Indy and the Bills are 7-3.
I hope one of us, maybe someone calling. If you got a team you want to talk about, do it. Let's right here, call in. Do it with us, 803-0550. Cleveland, we'll take Cleveland at some point today if no one else does. 7-3, look at their schedule. I'm not sure they're good.
No, I'm not either, but they're in pretty good shape.
They're in pretty good shape. That's more important.
Yep, they've got the Giants and the Jets still to come.
And Jacksonville.
Right.
And Cincinnati. No, they've swept Cincinnati. That's wrong.
Yeah, they've got Tennessee, Baltimore, and the Steelers still, too. So, I mean, it's not – yeah, we're just talking about Baltimore, so, you know, what to make of that. But
you think they get to 10, though?
Yeah, probably. They should.
And you mentioned the Ravens. Ronnie Stanley's injury against Pittsburgh, out for the year. Yanda retiring after last season. Big losses. And that's, you know, everybody who talks football says it, and we know it. Like, those are the kind of things. Those are big, important things that happen that you have to know about to speak intelligently on teams, right? I mean, it just means a lot. It can mean a lot to how their quarterback looks and so on. Any team. 803-0550 for us. Sam Monson, PFF today. We'll be talking a lot about Week 11 and the Bills and the Chargers. We will definitely include the Chargers in this, too, with Justin Herbert coming to Buffalo this weekend. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
He's being out smarter with the ball. He's giving his receivers opportunities to make plays. I mean, him and Diggs and Cole, those guys are doing phenomenal work. And we love those one-on-one matchups with anybody in the league, DB receiver-wise. And he's just managing the game better. I feel like in the stat-wise, isn't it true that he's thrown more touchdown passes this year so far than he has last year? So that stat itself tells you that his game is really improving, not only as an individual, but as a leader itself.
Aaron Williams, former Bills safety, on the WGR Morning Show today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. I didn't want to lead with it We need Sneaky Joe. And I felt that if I'd brought it up right away, especially on a Monday and a holiday week, just, you know, like a lot of other things when it comes to my Twitter or just in life, as I've learned, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to just be upset. Just try to think of something else. But I am upset. I am furious, actually, with Joe.
Why is this? Is it because Chris Herndon finally scored a touchdown?
I don't want to lose Joe for this short week here.
Feel free to disclaim yourself here and say, I'm not a part of this, if you want. Or you can be, whatever. It's totally up to you, like usual. Joe, what do we know about him? What is he known for?
He's sneaky.
Sneak. This guy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
So I first really sort of learned anything about him is in fantasy football, he tried to trade somebody. I never know. He tried to trade somebody from a Sunday to a Monday game. And
I traded for someone on a Monday afternoon to put them in my lineup on Monday night.
You know, it was probably worse than that.
Was that against the rules?
No.
Usually.
No, it's not.
It can be.
They're unlocked still. If I'm down 10, I want to trade someone on a bye week for a guy playing that night. Fine. Legal.
Depends on the site, right? Maybe.
Depends on your league. Yeah, your site.
Most leagues are just their sites.
Yeah.
That's the entirety of what they are.
Yeah. Paul doesn't go in and tweak the rules, does right. he? Maybe he does. So I was shocked by Joe's position on Taysom Hill.
Oh, outraged.
So ESPN let you play Taysom Hill at tight end, which, you know, you should have done if you had him. Maybe you even got him because that possibility existed. The guys last night, what game was I watching? No, it was not the Sunday night game. One of the 4 o'clock games. Whatever.
Was it Fant and Gesicki? Because they both had pretty nice
games. No. I'm sorry. There was a crew that was talking about Sean Payton.
Oh.
It was not the Saint game, though. And they said, we talked to him before the season. Maybe it was Kenny Albert. Did he do a game? And he said, we asked Sean Payton what he would do if Drew Brees got hurt. And he said, if it was during a game, Winston, but for the next game, Hill. Which is exactly what he did. Right? Mm-hmm. So you could have... You know, that's what you're doing in fantasy football. You're looking for Tony Pollard and Alexander Mattison and whoever it is. You don't have a lineup spot open on your starting lineup, but who should be on your bench? Guys that maybe you'll start because of an injury or something else.
But that to me is the argument. That's almost the argument against why Hill would have tight end eligibility, because the only reason I would see him to have value in ESPN where he is tight end eligible is the off chance that he gets in as the starting quarterback and then you play him at the tight end position.
Fine.
And to me, that is taking that it's in a way taking advantage of the system. I don't have a problem with anybody taking advantage of the system the way it is set up. I have a problem with why he has tight end eligibility in the first place.
Yes, but Joe, I didn't decide that.
Right, no, I know. No, I don't have a problem with you starting him. I have a problem.
I thought you did.
With the decision to have him be tight end eligible.
I thought you said you should not play him at tight end.
Well, no. Well, if I were a league commissioner, I would try to outlaw it.
What does try mean?
Support. Well, you need.
What would Yoda say?
If it's 11-1, then I don't think you can just outright do that. But if you have enough support, nice gentlemanly agreement,
it's
I
tough.
Think you got to go the other way.
Gentlemanly.
What's the problem with that? The problem is people have different motives at this point of the season.
Yeah. Look, him being a tight end when he's been like, you know, a tight end or a gadget player and like takes a couple snaps at quarterback, fine. Once he's a starting quarterback, his designation should have changed, shouldn't it?
It will
this
week.
What's that?
It will this week.
Why didn't it change last week?
And that's
because
another,
they decided, yeah. ESPN decided it was too late in the game. And Hill wasn't even going to start until like Friday.
Right. So well, that's right. They didn't know, but well, I guess that's.
It was too late. They decided, you know, you wouldn't have to agree with this, but they decided it was too late in the game. So, okay. And, you know, even changing it now is controversial because what if I'm the guy just described and I'm like, I'm gonna pick him up. I might benefit. I might need him. And then you get him and he's a tight end. Like, perfect. This is the exact scenario I prepared for. I thought of this and did it. You didn't. So he's going in at tight end. Now they're going to take that away from me in the middle of the game, and that's tough. Like, they're screwed either way now. He really never should have been a tight end. I agree on that.
That's where my biggest issue is that why is he a tight end in the first place? And he didn't play the most snaps there last year. He played the most snaps at wide receiver going into the season, and the Saints list him officially as a quarterback. I don't know why we have to deviate from what teams are doing on their roster in the first place. If the Saints say he's a quarterback, he should be listed as a quarterback.
You think he should have just been a quarterback, and if you want to carry him on the off chance he actually gets a chance to play quarterback, then fine, good for you. But this idea of utilizing some sort of loophole where he's been a tight end because they weren't sure where to put him, and he doesn't play quarterback even though he's listed as a quarterback, the whole thing just seems pretty screwed up to me.
That's where I'm at. And then you're playing him at tight end, and when he goes in, I get that it's like late in the week, but right is right. And to me, he should never in any situation be allowed to be played there in leagues that only have one quarterback, because you're basically allowing a one-week superflex team. And how is that fair to the other team? And I get that, okay, well, I went out and added him, so shouldn't it be fair to me that I'm starting him at tight end?
Yes.
But to me, you should expect that, hey, you should expect there's a chance that he gets that eligibility taken away.
Are you in, okay.
That's what I think that that's, and whether that happens on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or not, I mean, whatever. You know he's got the potential to be a starting quarterback, and so if you're carrying him, and I think the league should have switched his designation, and they should have done it at 5-1. I don't care what time it was.
The league.
Yeah.
And who should be more mad after the fact? The guy that had to go up against the Saints starting quarterback in a tight end spot, or if they had gone the other way, the guy that didn't get to play the Saints starting quarterback at tight end?
I think these are good questions, but not the right questions. I think the only thing here is, here's our league, here's my money, what are the rules? I was joking before, because I'm not really mad at you, of course. I hate to give that away, but you're that guy. I think you're that guy.
I am 100% the guy that starts Taysom Hill at tight end.
Yes. Like, here's my money. Here's my money. What are the rules? Oh, what you could. I know people that would have done this. I am in one ESPN league. As far as I know, it's really ESPN. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And FanDuel, too, for DFS.
Thank you. Yahoo, you couldn't do this. Or any of the other sites, like the industry sites. But ESPN, you could do it. I'm in one ESPN league. It's the league with Bulldog and Paul and Greg Bauk, and I just never, like, right? Come on. It's just, to me, come on. It's like doing it. I'm in a league on Yahoo with my son. I'm not doing this in that league either, if I'm allowed, right? Like, I will compromise. But if one of these other, this league I'm in with Scott Pianowski, you should see the moves in that league. In that league, it's churning all weekend. Once guys' games are over, they get caught. New guys get picked up. I don't even know half the rules on Yahoo. I'm blown away by it. I'm just totally out of my league when it comes to this. No pun intended. Because these guys are just like, they're picking up. Some Bears guys were on bye this week. They're picking up the Bears for next week and somehow figuring out how to do that. On Yahoo, once a game is over, you can cut players from that game. That's how they're doing it. And there's a whole different, you know, strategy process in that when you're building your rosters. I'm sorry, this is like not the point. The point is,
right, no,
here's
not,
my
yeah.
money, what are the rules? Taysom Hill, you could have gone into this the first day at ESPN and seen Taysom Hill tight end and be like, all right, I'm taking him.
I'm going to just sit on that until I need to spring it, and then I'm going to use it.
Because think of all the weeks you've gotten zeros from your tight ends, even the good ones, except for Kelsey. Like, they're all giving you one catch for 8 yards weeks. Not this week. This week, a lot of them were good, but sort of funny because you could have done this. You could have played Taysom Hill over, like, Hunter Henry, and you would have done better, but not, like, that much better because Henry and Goddard and, of course, Waller, like, a lot of them did fine. Even Herndon.
You have a baseline, though, with him throwing the ball as much as he will. Like, there's not going to be a zero
sure.
there
no,
like
that's
there
right.
will be with some tight ends.
That's right.
And if you're going to switch it anyway, like, I don't know. My biggest issue would have been with what happened in the first place. I agree that it's a tough spot to be in when they get announced. He gets announced as the starter late in the week. And I'm not in any ESPN league, so I can't say that I would have done this. I would like to think, though, if I had noticed, beginning of the year, I'm a commissioner in an ESPN league, that I'm letting my league know that, hey, he's tight end eligible. If he starts at quarterback, you're not playing him at tight end. That's not happening. But, again, I can't know that because I'm not in
you,
ESPN league.
You really, though, I mean, literally, you would have had to wait until kickoff yesterday to know that.
I mean, we pretty much knew, didn't we?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, but that's not 100%. Like, think, Joe, if you were using him, all right? Your conscience is clean about it. I just, like, separate yourself from this opinion that I respect and also share. Not knowing for sure until the game starts is tough. I mean, even though Adam Schefter is saying it and whatever, you still don't know, and, like, that would... I mean, you do that every week, looking at your fantasy lineup, like wondering if this guy waiting for word. Did he go through warm-ups? Is he okay? Whatever. Here's a starting quarterback. I mean, that's late in the game to find out.
But again, I'm not waiting to see if he's starting at tight end. I'm waiting to see if he's starting at quarterback, which is what the Saints list him as anyway.
I am a commissioner of a few leagues. There is no way I would want to bother having to make special rules for ESPN's player list. I would never even think of it. If I have set up a league, this Say Cheese Flash Mob League that Bulldog named, it's in his fourth year, I set up the draft, go to it, draft a team, collect the money, and then that's it. You know, like I'm not going into the player list to make special rules. I wouldn't even think of it, you know, because it's just like more work than you need. So somebody in the league finds out Taysom Hill's a tight end, and here comes an opportunity. They put him in. Good for them. And if ESPN changes it this week, like they probably will, okay. Well, I'm not going to do anything about that, right? Okay, well, I was just like, wait a minute. Joe, of all people, Joe would not – he's sort of taking the high road on this and saying, like, no, don't play him at tight end because you know it's wrong.
There shouldn't be a situation to where he couldn't.
There is,
again,
though.
I would start him.
There is, though.
But to me, I'm the reason why. If I'm going to be the guy that's taking advantage, they should tell you that you need to change it.
You need yes. rules against Joe.
Yes.
You need the Joe rules, the sneaky yes. Joe rules.
Well, I guess that's right because I think we're going to see that. We all kind of agree that it was weird, but. All right, well. We've got Sam Monson coming up, PFF. We'll look more at Week 11. We'll talk about Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Bills' next opponent, the Chargers. There's a little bit of hockey news today. We'll see what that looks like as we start a new week here. I mean, Thanksgiving week is such a great hockey week. Normally, with the Sabres are often home on that Wednesday night and then the Friday night. But, of course, not this time. So we'll check in on that as we continue. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
Remember, coming into this year, there are a lot of questions about Allen and, you know, whether he would sort of live up to the expectations, whether he would sort of be the quarterback that Bills fans were hoping he would be. And I think largely you've seen that. Largely you've seen him take that step forward. You know, at the start of the year, obviously, he was putting up MVP-type numbers. You know, you saw some of the throws, some of the downfield execution. I know, you know, getting the ball downfield was a bit of a question, and he's been very well. He's been very adept at throwing the ball downfield this year, and so that's been a big part of it.
Mark Schofield, Friday on WGR, talking Josh Allen. The Bills are back this week, of course. The Chargers visit. Last week, Bills were a six and a half point favorite whenever I looked. Down to five yesterday. Haven't looked yet today. Lots more football, including a chat with Sam Monson of PFF on Herbert and Allen and the NFL overall coming up in about 10 minutes. There was a tweet from Nick Kyprios on the NHL and negotiations for this season today. It was about how it might be February. That's really what jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. What I mean, I don't expect that you have necessarily like thought this out, but isn't there a point at which it's not worth it, or what? Like, what if it's February 1st? Is that worth it?
I think to satisfy TV, which was what the restart was really about. I mean, I know they, you know, we want to award the cup. Okay. You want to award the cup because you don't want to have to pay back millions of dollars to your TV partners. So, you know, I think if you are already, you know, October, November, December, January, like whatever, you're 3-4 months into what normally would be, you know, your partnership, the season, I think you can still start in February and play 48 games and be done by mid-July and make them happy. And you know, so I think it's financially motivated. And I guess I would say, I mean, and what isn't in sports? Yeah. I guess I would say if they were willing to come back and play from July into September or whenever the hell the thing ended, that absolutely they would start February 1st. And it's and I would say it's worth it. That's enough of a season that I think, you know, it's not ideal, but I think it would work. I think you get past the beginning of February, and I think you start to stretch it pretty thin because I just don't know that the window is big enough for you to fit close to 50 games in and get completed by the time you want to be completed without stretching into summer, and I think they definitely want to avoid that this year.
Yeah, even with all this, you're talking mid-July.
Right.
I mean, mid-July, when do you want to be done? Early June. Right? You want to be done early June. So then you have your free agency. And some teams, like, you know, if you're a player, not that this will take precedence, you'd like to be on some sort of a schedule like you're used to, you know?
Yeah, well, sure.
Summer is your break.
You want to get that back in line. And, you know, especially with Seattle coming in. Like, they've got more than just a regular offseason to have. They've got an expansion draft layer to add in and then a new team to start playing. And I would think, you know, by the time we're into the fall of 2021, hopefully the vaccine has taken hold and made the rounds and, like, things are more like they were before this past March. And so you're cleared for takeoff for your new team. I think anything that potentially delays that, I think, would be a problem for the league. So they don't have forever on this. You know, they got it to me. February would be the latest. And that February 1st was out there. Like, the commissioner has said January 1st all along. There have been people within hockey reporting that it could, like, what's a worst-case scenario? February. Like, start in February. So, like, that's not that jarring to see that from Kyprios, that's something. But the reason that maybe that we're there is that there's a lot of financial wrangling. The players are pretty out of joint about, you know, what happened late last week when the owners came and asked to redo the CBA they just settled on like 3 months ago.
Good luck, hockey. We could use you.
Yeah, sure could.
Sam Monson, PFF, coming up to talk NFL. Mike Schoep here for my friends at Outlet Liquor. New great deals, especially if you want to buy a case. The place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor, to tell you about, including Behringer Main and Vine Wines, the big 1.5-liter size bottles, just $4.99 each with the rebate when you buy a case. Apothic Wines, 750-milliliter bottle size, just $5.99 a bottle after the rebate when you buy a case. You can mix and match. You know, she likes Cab, you like Chardonnay, vice versa, whatever. Mix and match to make it the way you want it. And, you know, of course, it's coming up on gift season, so great way to save money and buy popular gifts for friends or family. Canadian Club, 1.75-liter bottles. I can't even lift that much. Just $9.99 each when you buy a case after the rebate. André Champagne, a great deal, too. And much, much more. Also, curbside pickup is available at Outlet Liquor. Go to outletliquor.com for details. just minutes from the Walden Galleria Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard in Depew. Proud partner of the Buffalo Sabres, Outlet Liquor. What's your outlet?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.